Our Bible study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, Christ's infinite superiority as our high priest. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid men's discouraging spiritual failure, so a word from God on the infinite supremacy and sufficiency of His Son, Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The Epistle to the Hebrews offers it in Hebrews 5, 1 to 10, teaches Christ's infinite superior qualifications as our high priest as compared to that of any other high priest. And we view this passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 5, 1 to 10. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is surrounded with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he also saith in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God to be in a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The author of Hebrews had briefly mentioned Christ's office as a high priest back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, and chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, but that logically required that he demonstrate Christ's qualifications for that office. He's writing to people who are tempted to go back into a Judaistic cult. And if that's the case, and he talks about Jesus being a high priest, the people are going to say, high priest, wait a minute, the Jews have their own high priest. That goes all the way back to Aaron. So since when is Jesus any greater a high priest than the descendants of Aaron? So he's got to settle this issue. And so he goes ahead and he does so. In Hebrews 5, 1 to 4, since his readers were tempted to revert to a Judaistic cult, the author presented general qualifications for a Hebrew Aaronic high priest. An Aaronic would be a priest who was after the line of Aaron. So he's establishing what a general high priest would be. And then he's going to go on and he's going to talk about Christ and how he's far superior. First of all, a high priest was a man from a group of people who represented them in matters relating to God relative to their gifts of worship and their sacrifices for sins. That's essentially a high priest in any religion, but specifically he's thinking of Aaron, the Aaronic priest. Such a high priest must have the capacity to moderate one's feelings or deal gently. The Greek word is metiopatheo, and that means to moderate your feelings. You don't want to feel too high, you don't want to feel too low, you know, not depressed and too giddy. You have to be very self-controlled. And here it means deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is subject to or hung about with or beset with perikemi weaknesses. It's like they use the term perikemi when you take a millstone and put it around a person's neck and you throw him overboard and, you know, he sinks to the bottom of the sea. That's the same verb that is used. So the high priest himself is beset with many of the same sins. And when the high priest recognized that he himself is a sinner, he was much more apt to be sympathetic and at least apathetic with people who were around him or who were weak. Well, due to such weaknesses and sinful failings in his own case, the mortal human priest is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for the people that he represents before God. It's interesting, on the Day of Atonement, before the high priest could go into the holiest of holies and offer a sacrifice for the people, he had to take a sacrifice for himself. Now, I don't know if it was a bull that he offered, because the high priest, you know, he was a leader of the people, so the higher the rating, the, you know, the more expensive the gift. And a bull would basically cost, you know, in our money today, something like a used car. You know, it wasn't just cheap money, but this was expensive. Well, he had to offer for himself, and then after he'd offered for himself, then he could go into the holiest of holies for the sins of the people, because then God would tolerate him there. Otherwise, if something was wrong with the first sacrifice, he'd die in there. That's why they would tie a rope around his right ankle, so that if he died, they could pull him out without having to go in there and die themselves. So it was kind of a scary thing for the high priest to go into the holiest of holies once a year. In addition, no one takes the honor of being a high priest for himself, but rather, and you have a strong adversative, Allah, rather he serves only if he is called of God to do so, like Aaron was. It's interesting, God had warned that make sure that nobody comes near the temple or the tabernacle except the priests themselves. And no one could go into the holiest of holies except the high priest, and only he could do it only once a year. That was on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. So that's the way the priest back in the Old Testament served. But no, you'll notice Christ's high priestly office was infinitely superior to the Aaronic high priestly office. Jesus Christ was called of God to a far superior calling than it was any Aaronic high priest. Jesus did not glorify himself to be made a high priest, but he was appointed by God the Father, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." That's a quotation from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. But it's a very important phrase. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Aaron and the priests that come from Aaron's line were never called sons of God. You know, this is a unique situation. Jesus actually being the Son of God, the word son is an adult son, which means he's equal with the Father. That's unique. So this refers to the Davidic covenant. However, in this particular case, this refers to the Davidic covenant where God declared that he would be the father to Israel's king. Of course, it's ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the actual co-equal with the Father, Son of God. But Jesus Christ is far more than a high priest. He's also a king. God also said that Christ would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, this reference refers to Psalm 110, verse 4, and it alluded to the oath taken by God the Father that Messiah, Israel's king, would also be a priest, unlike other Davidic kings who, being of David's tribe of Judah, could not serve in the Aaronic priesthood that came through the tribe of Levi. You see, David and all the kings that came through David's line were of Judah's tribe. And if you were the tribe of Judah, you couldn't go near the tabernacle. And see, you could go up to the outside. You could present your offering there and sacrifice. But you couldn't go into that courtyard. That was just for the tribe of Levi. So this is a unique thing. God has to offer the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to offer him a priesthood that is different from the Aaronic priesthood. Well, he does. The priesthood of Melchizedek. Now, we're going to learn later of the vast superiority of the Melchizedekan priesthood to the Aaronic one, because Father Abraham, who was Aaron's ancestor, paid tithes to Melchizedek. And whenever you pay tithes to someone who's greater than you. So with Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and Aaron would have been, you know, one of the distant descendants of Abraham, Aaron is far inferior to Melchizedek. And we're going to cover that when we get into Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 to 10. Well, Jesus also offered up an infinitely superior offering as our high priest. This is all new to me. I had not understood this until I'd studied this passage. But the King James verb offered up in Hebrews 5:7 translates the same Greek verb prosphero used in Hebrews 5:1 of the Aaronic priest's offering. And those prayers and petitions offered up with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death evidently refer to Christ's sufferings on the cross, in which he was offering himself up as an offering for sin. I'd always thought that that was the suffering that Jesus went through at Gethsemane. But apparently in this situation, there were several times where the scripture does record that Jesus cried out with a loud voice.
he did when he yelled, Eli, Eli, or Eloi, Eloi, in Aramaic, Lama Sabachthani. That's my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he cried with a loud voice, it is finished, near the end of his life, when he was dying on the cross. But nevertheless, he cried out. And this is when he was undergoing intense sufferings for our sin. And of course, the sufferings of Christ are infinite. You've got the Son of God who has always been in close fellowship with the Father. And that fellowship is broken on the cross because he's bearing our sins. And it must have been excruciating. It's far more painful to the Lord Jesus than just the sufferings, the physical sufferings of the cross, which are huge in themselves. But the fellowship that he'd always enjoyed with the Father for the one time was broken because he was bearing our sins in his body on the cross. Thus, for his reverent submission to the Father's will, and that's the Greek word eulabeias, Jesus was heard, his infinitely invaluable offering being accepted by God the Father. Thus, he emerged from his sufferings and death through his triumphant resurrection from the dead in proof of God's acceptance of his offering. In fact, I think there's a reference in Psalm 22, the psalm that Jesus was thinking about on the cross, about the Father hearing him. So that's very important. So the author used a play on words to teach that Christ learned, that's the Greek word amathen, from what he suffered, epithen, on the cross for an effective ministry to his suffering people as their infinitely sympathetic high priest. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not only God, he's man. And he has experienced suffering. He has experienced suffering to a degree that we haven't because of what he went through on the cross. Jesus Christ can empathize and sympathize with our sufferings far more than what we think he can. He's been there. He can turn over to the Father and says, Father, this one really hurts, you know, or this is really a problem. And he can intercede for us, which is a wonderful thing. Now, the Father knows what we go through, but he listens to the Son because the Son obeyed him. The Son went to the cross in our behalf, fulfilling the Father's will, and the Father has chosen highly to honor his Son. So when his Son speaks and he's appealing in our behalf, the Father really listens. So he was made perfect for his role as his people's everlasting captain and high priest in infinite superiority over the Aaronic high priest. The Aaronic high priest, yeah, he's a sinner, and to some degree he can empathize, he can sympathize, but a lot of times the priest himself could not sympathize with the specific sin that was involved or the specific weakness. Christ, having suffered far more, even though without sin, could understand the pain of the suffering far more than a priest, an earthly priest could. So he was made perfect. He's perfect in the sense, perfect as a perfect representative of us. Infinitely perfect because he understands perfectly what we are going through. So Christ is infinitely superior to the Aaronic high priest as a king and a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, having learned by his suffering on the cross to be infinitely more sympathetic to his suffering people than any other high priest, who is thus also sinless and thus fully acceptable as a high priest to God the Father. So may we view the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ as God's infinitely superior ministry to any other human high priestly ministry, that we pray to God through Christ alone for all matters of sins and weaknesses. Now, you and I at Nepog Church, a lot of us have not come from a background where they had priests, or certainly not high priests. But it's interesting to note that sometimes we become dependent on our relationships with other people. And some people can let us down. You know, it's one of the things. People are fickle and people are weak and, you know, people have ups and downs in their walk. But it's always refreshing to be recalling that Jesus Christ, who's human as well as divine, he's sinless, absolutely sinless. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And what's beautiful, there's a verse in Hebrews 13:8 that says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. absolutely unchanging, and he's unchanging in his attitude towards us, in his righteousness, in his love, his perfection. We can go to a high priest, through a high priest, in prayer at any time, no matter what mood we're in, no matter what we've done, what we haven't done, and so forth. We can find someone there, another human being, Jesus Christ, who is perfectly empathetic with us and perfectly sympathetic for us. And that's something that is wonderful. Sometimes we go through experiences we feel that other human beings don't understand. You know, we've all been there. And we feel that nobody else can possibly understand. Well, Christ does. He knows. So I think this is wonderful. I've, as a result of the memorial service that we had yesterday, we're talking with a number of people, and there's been some interesting and positive fallout as a result of that service. There are some people who are seriously considering getting back with God or getting right with the Lord. We've even heard of a young man who's interested in thinking about things of the Lord. I don't know if this young man even knows Christ as a Savior, which is exciting. But it's interesting, a number of these people have been in and out or up and down in relationship with the Lord. And but we always know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is steady. He's consistent, and he can be relied upon. And we can rely upon him for our own needs as well as for the needs of other people that are around us. So may we go to our high priest, through our high priest, in prayer. Not hesitating, because he really understands where we're coming from.